It's good to be here tonight. If you'll stand with us, we'll take a reading tonight out of Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Appreciate the service already. It's been a blessing to be here. Appreciate the touch that I felt in my own heart. I just need it at times, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Got to have it. I wouldn't want to go through life without it.
Right.
Wouldn't want to go many days without it.
Right.
And as Brother Wright said, it's available, ain't it?
Yes.
When Cornelius got saved, come to know the Lord, it said that it's found out that God is of no respecter of persons.
Right.
I believe that when it comes to salvation,
yes.
He's no respecter of persons.
That's right.
And I'm glad of that tonight. You pray for me. I need the Lord's touch to preach. I don't want to be dry tonight. I want to preach with a good spirit on me. So you pray for me. I can't do it without Him. Appreciate everyone here. Acts chapter 9, I'll read about 9 verses. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat or drink. You can be seated. You pray for us tonight as we try to preach. Most of us know the rest of the story here. We know that Saul or Paul's life takes a turn right here. And he becomes a Christian and a man of God. You read on over in the chapter where he has hands of Ananias was laid upon him and these scales fell from his eyes. He received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. You know what happened? God made a believer out of him. And I'm glad God made a believer. It takes God to make a believer out of him. God made a believer out of me. And I want to preach tonight with the help of the Lord on, and I want to preach in a form of a question, I guess. I want to ask you or preach on, have you had or preach on having a down-to-earth experience? That's what God's laid on my heart. I want to preach about having a down-to-earth experience. And I believe that if you are saved tonight or born again, you have had a down-to-earth experience. Now, I want to say this about Paul's conversion. We're real familiar with it. He told it about everywhere he went. And it is, as Brother Hyatt said, it's really better felt than told. But sometimes you don't feel it like you need to till you tell it. And it gets sweeter the more you tell it. And I like it. And I appreciate having an experience to tell. I'm glad I've been born again. I told my own experience. You know, Mom didn't have to prod me and say, tell the preacher what God done. Buddy, when God came in my heart that night, I prayed long enough that my legs and feet were asleep, and I sat there for just a minute. And I got up out of the altar, and I stood on my own 2 feet, and I didn't open my mouth at first. I just smiled real big and nodded my head. And they knew what had happened. We rejoiced for a little while, and I hugged everybody in the church 2 or 3 times.
And come to the end of the service, the preacher said, anybody want to say anything? And I just said, I want to thank God for saving me and being here. And I ain't never forgot that night. And as I'm telling you, now, I'm reliving it. And it's the story of my life that never grows old. And it was the beginning of something that has never ended. It was the drink I got, that or the river, the water that got in me. It's the well that never has ran dry. And I praise the Lord for having an experience with God. And in saying so, we all know about Paul's experience. And we think about how real it was, how that God brought him down, and how God changed his life. And what an amazing thing it was. The starting of this chapter is Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughterings against the people that are in this way, which is the Christian way. Christ is the way. And as they were there, Saul asked for letters, asked for permission, if he found anybody in this way, that he could bind them. And he did so. And as he journeyed, he was to going toward Damascus. And the Lord brought him down. Now, I was in Georgia, or either listening to a service in Georgia that was recorded. And old brother that I met there by the Satterfield, he got happy one night and he said, you know, he said, Paul's experience is not a bit brighter than mine. He said the only difference was he was on the road to Damascus and I was on the road to hell. And I can relate to that tonight. Don't compare your experience necessarily with someone else's, even though we all have something in common. Just make sure you've had your own. You're not going to ride into heaven on the preacher's coattail. You're not going to hang on to mom and dad and go in. You're going to have to meet the Lord for yourself. You're going to have to be able to stand on your own two feet at judgment. And Christ is going to have to be there to plead your case. It's going to have to be a done deal before you leave this world. If it's not so with you, then you're not ready to meet God. You know, I read a little a marquee on a church here somewhere, a sign by the road. It said it's better to know Him before you meet Him. And that's so true. It's good to know the Lord. One of these days we're all going to pass away, die, and face God. And as that old Ecclesiastes writer said, as a tree falleth, you know, there it is. The way you die is the way you face God. And so I want to preach about having a down-to-earth experience. I want to say everybody that's been born again has had one. But I want to be careful here. I want you to understand that when I talk about having experience with God, I'm not necessarily wanting you to compare yours with mine or measure up with mine. People had experiences with God. A lot of times it was had great simplicity was involved. And understand that the power, it's in God for you to be saved. And the ability is in God. And anybody in the Bible, people got God a lot of times, sometimes by just reaching out for God. You know that? Some people got what they needed by reaching out. Some people got what they needed by crying out. Some people got what they needed by turning and looking. And that's what repentance and faith is. Repentance is a turn in your heart and a change in your heart and mind in every bit of your being. And it's turning to God and looking to God. And everybody gets what they need from God when Christ becomes the object of their faith. I'm not going to preach tonight and make nothing complicated. I'm preaching down to earth here. That's what it means to me for something to be down to earth. Just sort of plain, you know, like plain spoken. He's down to earth. I'll tell you, I've preached this once before and hardly ever honestly, and I know many men do, but hardly ever have I or do I preach the same thought or a message. But I was over there in the room today, and I want to take this opportunity to thank you for the room. It's a good place to stay, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate everything you've done and the love you've already showed me and the friendships that I've made and the time spent with you. And I want this church to know that I love you. And brother, I praise God for letting Brother Hyatt be back with us tonight. It's a great blessing, ain't it, to have him in the service or with us. And thank God for it. And I know you love him. And I commend you for your love toward other brother. But I was over there in the room and I was going down through there and I thought, you know, I'm just a tad bit hungry. And I've done prayed all the way from brother's motor shop all the way back. Time got away and I thought, Lord of mercy. And y'all say that, Lord of mercy? I'm just down to earth now. I feel like preaching a while. I feel that way when I'm just getting get down on the level here and just not be nothing that I'm not. But anyway, I was going across. I thought, Lord, it's about church time. Not long I have to get ready. I need to hear from you, Lord. And so I thought, well, maybe I need to eat a little something. My sugar, I'm hypoglycemic, and my sugar will go down and I'll shake just a little. We called it the weak trembles when I was a boy. And so I thought, I need a little something. And all I had in there was either Viennese or Beanie Weenies. And I walked by there in a little cooler I've got, and I thought, well, I'll eat a can of Beanie Weenies. And I thought, well, here you are, all these eating places. And it just hit me. I'm down to earth enough to eat Beanie Weenies. I ain't too good to eat Beanie Weenies. And I took a step. I said, there it is, Lord. It's it. That's what you want me to preach. And so my mind went back to when God spoke this to my heart and the Word of God. And here Saul is, as Dad would say, on his high horse. You know when people get on their high horse and God brings them down? Well, that's what happened to Saul here. That's what's fixing to happen to him. I mean, he's high and mighty. I mean, he's a breathing far. But he finds out there's one that's a lot mightier than him. And God brings him down. And the Bible said, as he journeyed near Damascus, suddenly, just all of a sudden, a light shined round him, a light from heaven, and the Bible said he fell to the earth. And I'm telling you what's happening to him here is he's been brought down, friend, been cut down, sawed down, chopped down, ever what you want to call it, to size, and God is going to deal with him. I know what that is, buddy, when God cuts you down and brings you down to size and really shows you what you are. And you say, preacher, I am above that. That's your problem tonight. You got to know where you come from. Remember what got you where you at. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with what you're preaching? I mean, you ain't nothing but a speck of dirt tonight. I mean, earth is where you come from. And God brought Saul right down to where he come from. Right down face on the earth. And he cried out, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he said, it's a little tough, ain't it, buddy? A kicking against the pricks. Something makes you want to draw back a little. He said, what you're doing, you can't do it. I mean, you can't fight God. You can't withstand God. And I mean, he was on the wrong road. But God was going to take him and make him a vessel of honor. And he was going to be a great witness for God. He was a chosen vessel. God just said to Ananias, and he said he's going to suffer a lot of things for my name's sake. And he's going to go bear my name to the Gentiles. And we know he became the apostle unto the Gentiles. And God used him to preach. He was a great man of God. Wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But it all started with this down-to-earth experience with God. God brought him down. Has there ever been a time in your life when God brought you down? Can you remember tonight? If you're born again, you can. You can remember when God brought you down. You can remember when the Word of God just swept your legs out from under you. And you found yourself with no strength. You saw really how helpless and hopeless you were. And God brought you to that place. And you remember a time when you heard God speak to you. And your inner being. And you knew it was God. If you've been under conviction, that means convinced. You were convinced of God. That you're a sinner and you have a need of God. You were convinced, as Paul was, that you was headed the wrong way. I mean, he is headed the wrong way. He wound up where he was headed, but he's a different man when he got there. It takes God to change a man. The Bible said the leper, he can't change his spots, nor the Ethiopian, the color of his skin. It takes God to change a man. Jonah come out of the belly of the whale, and he wiped the seaweeds when he come up on dry ground, and he said, salvation is of the Lord. It is a work of God. It is a work of grace. It is an experience for you. A lot of people don't really sort of like experimental belief, but I do. You must be born again. You have to have an experience with God. My brother Shank preached over the little regular Baptist the other night about a boy that come back from the dead and lived to tell about it. And that just touched my heart. That's why we're still living. How to tell about it. And we've got a story to tell. I mean, the little woman forgot her water pots,
She run in the city and told the whole city. Now, I ain't going to fall out with nobody here either way. I mean, we fuss about some things. We all just let God be God. But the little woman went in the city. The disciples were already there. They went in the city to get meat. But, buddy, she had something to tell. And they knew her life. They knew what kind of woman she was. I understand preaching in power. And, brother, I believe in it. I believe I'm doing a little of it right now. I mean, God's got to do it. It takes God. And nothing will ever take its place. But we can't ever think it's we that done it. Buddy, it's God revealed Himself unto people. And I believe that tonight. And she come back in. And, I mean, revival broke out. Ain't that what happened? I mean, it did. And disciples are thinking about what they needed for their physical strength. And she was going into the city saying, "There's a man out here. He's got to be the Christ. He told me everything that I ever did. I didn't even have to lie to him. I just hid it. But I found out he knew it anyway."
Yeah.
I won't say he knows it anyway tonight. Just well tell him.
That's right.
Just well get honest tonight.
Amen.
Just tell him about it.
Yes,
tell him all about it. We sang that song. Just we'll tell him all about our troubles.
Right.
He'll hear our faintest cry.
Right.
You don't got to scream at God.
Hello.
I mean, sometimes I do, but you don't got to.
Yes.
This man prayed. It didn't have the right spirit to me one time. He's like, "Oh!" And sometimes I do that and I feel all right about it. But he didn't. Something wasn't right. And I said something to Brother Henderson. He said, "That's how you got to do when God's real far away from you.
Yeah,
got to scream at Him." Some people talk at God. Sometimes I guess I've been guilty of talking at God. But it's better to talk to God. And God will talk to you. And He talked to Saul here. And he had a down-to-earth experience. And you're going to have one if you want to go to heaven. Down to earth. You read about our beginning, our deriving as humans back in the beginning. How that God took the dust of the earth, and He formed it and made it into His own image.
Right.
And He breathed in man's nostrils the breath of life, and He become a living soul. And when He dies, after He sinned in the garden and God thrust Him out, God said, "From this dust, this earth you came from, this ground you came from, you're going to till it now. And you're going to earn your way by the sweat of your face.
Right.
And this earth is cursed now because of you, and it's going to bring forth thorns and briars."
Yeah.
I got a splinter in my hand right there. You see that?
Yep.
I'm sitting up there rubbing it. Now I can't dig it out. It's going to fester and come out, or I'll have to cut my hand half off. You say, "Preacher, don't say that." I think God wanted me to. You know what God wants you to know tonight? That I'm down to earth.
Yes.
I can't hardly listen to a preacher that ain't, can you?
Amen.
I mean, I don't try to be proper. I don't try to be uneducated. I'm just being what I am, Brother Joel.
Amen.
I mean, God saved me,
yes,
called me to preach.
Yes.
I didn't hardly know nothing.
Amen.
You'd be surprised what God's taught me this week.
Yes,
but there's this one thing I know. I know He opened up my blinded eyes one day. I know I've had a down-to-earth experience. I can relate to the boy in John 9. He's just sitting there blind from his birth. And they said, "What about him? And who sinned that this young man should suffer this way? Well, and be born blind." He said, "Ain't nobody sinned." He said, "This has happened for a reason, that the glory of God could be made manifest in this boy." And the Lord took her, friend, just old clay and dirt and spittle.
Right.
Amen.
That's pretty down to earth. You ever had a spit bath?
Right.
You ever had a spit bath? I have. I've had mama go. God wants me to preach this way tonight to understand. He loves you, sinner.
Amen.
He loves you.
Amen.
He died for you.
Amen.
He wants to save you tonight.
Amen.
He wants to help you. He took this young boy and he took this dirt and he molded it and spit in it and it made clay. And he anointed his eyes and he said, "Go wash." And he went and washed and he come a seeing. He got his sight back. If you have a down-to-earth experience, you'll see. The songwriter, the old-timers wrote that song, you know, about Paul. "I see much better since you struck me blind." You ever heard that? "Lord, I see much better. I seen the world different even at the age of 12 when God saved me."
Oh, yeah.
Them primitive sang that song, "I'm looking through new eyes. I've been born again."
Yeah.
He'll change you.
Yeah.
Have you had a down-to-earth experience? experience with God? Yeah. Has He ever cut you down and sought you down to size and birthed life in you and give you your sight and helped you to see, made you know where you was going, give you peace in your heart? It takes it. I believe in it. I don't ever want to get above how I found God. I thought that brother was going to stomp a hole in the floor. I wish some of the young preachers where I'm at get that far about him. When he was doing that, I thought he sounded like y'all little preaching him. Didn't I hear him say he'd been called a preacher? I didn't know. But I kind of did, you know. Standing there stomping the floor. See, people's above that. They're not down to earth. I thought it was humorous, and I'm not saying this to be humorous, but I thought it was. I heard a brother preaching on makeup one time on women. And you know, I ain't preaching that. I'm just telling you what he said. He said, my wife got in the spirit, you know, she don't wear it now. And y'all understand what I'm saying. That was his feelings about it. He said she got in the spirit and said she looked like she ran through spider webs. And he just said that. He said, so people are worried. And just forget all of that. Get the moral of the story. People are worried too much about what they look like.
That's right.
And I believe I was worried tonight. I changed my tie. I was worried. I got black pants and a blue coat. And it didn't seem like it looked right to me. I don't know what my wife's going to think because I took a picture in the mirror with a different tie. She said, you look good. And she may be watching me now and said, that ain't it. Is it okay to enjoy church tonight?
Yeah.
I've been born again, washed in the blood, saved by grace tonight. And it takes a down-to-earth experience to get to heaven. A down-to-earth experience. I preach this once more and it's coming back to me, and I'm not trying to preach a repeat, but I was in a church and I felt some dignified people. I felt it. And I said, you are probably have got so far from God or you're raising. Raised on a dairy farm now and want to vote to tax cows. For letting air out. I am not trying to be funny. That's where we're at. People have lost their mind, Brother Taylor. They have lost their mind. They have forgot where they come from. They're ashamed to cry. I mean, and pride, you can be poor and be full of pride. You cannot have nothing. You can be, I know some of the proudfoot people is instilled in them. And there's a certain degree of dignity and self caring about what you are created in the image of God in respect and pride that is okay. But then there is that proud look and there is that haughtiness that God despises. I have a friend who is saved now. But he had heart trouble similar to Brother Joel's situation about his age when he had the issue there. And his daughter comes to him and says, Dad, everything, I mean, God's in control. But what's killing me is knowing that if something happens to you, you're not, his daughter was saved and he wasn't. You're not going where I'm going and I'll be apart from you forever. And it got him. And he started getting interested and think, I might ought to do something about this. And so he starts going to church. And an old-fashioned Methodist preacher named Earl Davis preached the gospel to him. And he got bothered about it. And God dealt with him. And they had a little bench in front of the church where I preached my first sermon at. I was called to preach out of that church, that little country Methodist church. And he said, I looked and I knew where I needed to get. But he was a prosperous man for our area. And he said, I can't let these people see me cry. I can't let these people see me up beg or whatever. And so he resisted God. And he said he did this a couple of times. And so time goes by. And he said, here I am. A wanting God, but I don't want to be seen. I don't want to go forward. I don't want to lose, to give it up. I'm afraid of how I might act. I'm afraid of what I might do, you know. Hey, there's a lot of people who would not do what the young man did.
Right.
Just let it go. He probably don't even know what he did. I'm just making a point here. They're too proud. He's young now, but as he grows, there's a chance the devil will try to knock that out of him. There's been a lot of good preachers. They said, you preach better if you quit crying. You preach better with your coat on. You just can only preach with the help of God. It don't matter if you're standing on your head. That ain't got nothing to do with it, really. It's God. It's the power of God. The Word of God's quick and power. When you become a vessel and you humble down and meet God's, and you're clean and God can speak through you. He said, I prayed mowing the yard. See, you can't just do it anywhere.
That's right.
And it ain't about the place, really. It's about you. And the place is in your heart. You know, Abraham come to the place. And the place was Calvary. That's where he took Isaac. They came to the place. And you got to come to that place. In fellowship or walking with God. Brother Caleb preached, there's a place by me, I believe. You got to get to that place. So there's the place in salvation, and that's where you got to get. It's at the foot of the cross. I heard Brother Mitchell say, you can die and go to hell at a Baptist altar. But nobody that goes to Calvary and gets at the foot of the cross dies and goes to hell.
That's right.
You got to get to Calvary. And Christ is the altar.
Yes, sir.
Not the front of the church.
That's right.
Christ is the altar.
That's exactly right.
And he said, but God will break your will and get you right down
that's
to earth.
Right.
You'll trust him and not be ashamed of it.
Amen.
To do it. And he said, I prayed on the lawnmower. Couldn't get saved. Some people would not even understand that. Hey, we can't do it. Men, the preacher can't do it for you. He can't lead you in, read you in, talk you in. He can't speak the word. You know, they went to arrest the Lord and came back and he's like, well, you went to arrest him. You see him. Why ain't you got him? They said, never a man spake like this man. He's the only one that can speak it to you. He's the only one that could change Saul of Tarsus. He's the only one that could do this work in his life and heart. And he's the only one that can do it for you. You're going to have to go to him. And he said, I pray at the lawnmower. I'd pray at the house, and he'd cry out, Lord, save me. And he said, all I could see was that little bench in the church. Co-workers were there, couldn't let it go. I can't let them see me cry, Lord. I can't go up there and bow. He wrote a song, God moved a mountain so I could pass by. He said he could have got saved when he was 16. He'd already been on an altar. And he sat up on the altar, and he said, a big old mountain got in his way of doubt and different things. And he let it hinder him, and he went all this time, see.
Mm-hmm.
And he remembered that trip, and he said, that's where I got to get. I got to do it. He said, I just envision it. And I think, if I remember his story right, he felt God pull back from him. No draw much. He got scared. That's a scary thing.
It is.
He said, I got scared. I didn't feel much of a pull on my heart. And so, he says one day, Lord, I don't care who's there. I don't care no more. I need to get right with you. I don't care.
Amen.
And so he goes to the house of God. Maybe it's not there, but today it does. Old Brother Earl gives an invitation. And then God gave one too.
Yes.
Invitation's got to come from God.
Yes.
Sometimes we as men of God can sense it. Sometimes maybe we can't. We are men of God. We do have a special calling. But we're men. And he gives an invitation, and my friend Teddy, he's sitting there in the pew, and he says, I'm a going. And he takes one step, and God does it.
Amen.
Just simple.
Lord, yes.
But God cut him down, and God broke him, and he didn't care anymore. I've heard people say, I was on the altar praying, real common back home, they'd say I was praying, and I was afraid somebody would hear me cry out. And they couldn't. They just couldn't get no peace. They said, Lord, I don't care. And they start to cry out and just peace comes in. It's a breaking of your will. It's down to earth. This is a plain old thing. I told Brother Joel, I don't wear the old timey out. I mean, this brother remembers a day that I don't. I learned eternal security and come to believe it listening to Oliver B. Green that he got saved under. At 11 o'clock at night, on Highway 261 in Tennessee, when I wanted to go fishing and I didn't drink beer, I just went to see my friends. I wasn't going to get into nothing. I was a good Christian boy, the best I knew to be. And I said, I can't get involved in this. When the wildness started coming out, I said, well, about time for me to go home.
Yeah.
So I'd get on the road and head down 261 and I'd have 88.3, that's King of Kings Radio out of Somerset, Kentucky, and I'd listen to Oliver B. Green preach.
Yeah.
And God used that. And I'd go home and sometimes fall asleep with my Bible open, laying on my pillow, reading the book. And God taught me that I was eternally secure. I didn't believe that. I wasn't taught that. I didn't know it. And all the people that believe like I used to, they just don't understand. But some of the best Christians I know, and born again people, don't understand assurance doctrine.
Right.
They don't fully understand.
Right.
One of the greatest women in my eyes, she says, I got saved at Old Rocky Hill Missionary Baptist Church one morning. And she said, I didn't say anything about it till that night. But she said, the moment God come in my heart, they're standing around a singing. And she says, something jumped in me and I wanted to get up and sing with them so bad. God puts you in the crowd.
Amen.
He'll put you in the crowd.
Yes, sir.
And you're just as good as anybody else. Ain't that wonderful?
That's right.
No big I's and little U's. We've all got a job to do.
Right.
I've seen preachers' dad would say get too big for their britches. There's a saying down home. It's probably everywhere. And it's been twisted. So many things added to it, took from it. But they said the young preacher, y'all probably know the story, said he went in real high and he come out real low. And the old preacher said, son, if you'd went up the way you come down, you could have come down the way you went up. Y'all get that? It's a down-to-earth thing. We can't get too big. Saul, remember when you was little in your own sight and he was head and shoulders above everybody, but he chickened out on the hill. The little David had a big heart after God's heart. And he said, I'll go. It's a cost. Somebody's got to fight. And here he is with a zeal of God in his heart. And the rest of the religious brothers and crowd saying, what do you want to do? Show out. What are you up to? Don't let nobody ever put out the fire that God put in your heart.
Amen.
If they want to be formal and ritualistic, let them dry up and die. Stay down to earth. Pray. Get on your knees sometimes. You don't have to. I felt God help the man pray sitting in his pew.
Yeah.
But get in the corner sometimes and bawl it out and squall it out with God.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Right.
It's okay for your nose to run a little.
Right.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Young people, keep it.
Right.
Don't let it go.
Right.
Stay with it.
Oh,
stay humble.
Amen.
Stay usable. If you stay humble, you'll stay usable.
That's right.
But if you get above being down to earth, you're above what you are. You're the clay. He's the potter.
Right.
He's everything.
Yes.
Without me, he said, you can do nothing.
Yes, sir.
Ain't you glad you've had a down to earth experience with God?
Right.
I really have.
Yes,
I walked the aisle in that little old church, plowed into that altar, and cried out to God. And He had mercy on me and saved me. I seen a fella, I was at home coming, and you ever heard the song, I Love God's Way of Living Best of All? You ever heard that? It's a good song. It's an old song. I remembered it when I was a little boy. But the Turner family, two people sang it, Floyd and Norma. They'd sing it. Floyd, he just had a few teeth. He just sang, you just see, you know. He didn't care. He didn't care.
Amen.
I heard a preacher back home probably 10 years ago. He said, when do we start worrying so much about our yards? Is in your day when they did. You've lived it.
Yeah.
They didn't used to worry that much about their yards when I was a boy.
No.
Kids wore the grass out.
Right.
They didn't have a yard.
Right.
That's true, ain't it?
Right.
My wife told some people, or somebody was telling some people that they wormed their kids. And they're like, you wormed your kids? Why, sure. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
They'll get them. If they play in the dirt, they'll get them. It get under your nails. We're going to watch my girls, honestly.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't... I mean, Brother Joel's going to have me back where you like it or not sometime.
Come on.
I'm telling it right tonight. You got too big for your britches.
Right.
There's old brother back home, they call it get lathered up. He'd preach, get lathered up, not wear no deodorant. He'd hug you and...
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be funny, preach. It's real.
Yeah,
down to earth. Plain.
Right.
Brother Caleb, it's real. Down to earth.
Yes,
I told him, we was washing feet there at church. I was telling Brother Hyatt today. I said, okay, I got a mind, God. I ain't got no choice, brother.
Right.
I said, now, unless God's in it, you ain't going to get down and wash somebody's feet and lint and floating in the water. Ain't it right, brother? You say, I'll never do it. Oh, don't say that. I said, I wouldn't. I went in and sat down in the church where I got saved, and that was their practice. It was their belief they would do that. And I said, I'll just watch, you know. Well, I seen Brother Lovell Wilson, his hands swelled up, big arthritis. He'd stand up and he'd say, I thank the Lord. And big, I still remember it. He'd hold his songbook like this right here, you know, working man. He'd say, I thank the Lord when I was a little boy. He touched my heart and let me come to Him and repent and believe.
Amen.
And be saved.
Amen.
And I seen him sitting up there. I couldn't hold it. I watched him be faithful. I'd be riding my bicycle on Saturday. They have a special service once a month on Saturday night. Preacher and the members. And I was just a little boy. We didn't go to that. And the men, a lot of men, you know, they take care of the business. But I'd see him faithful. Once a month, every month, go by. I'd be riding my bicycle. And we'd be in the field. And he loved me. And I just had to go.
Yeah.
During that service, there's a man named Bill. He was an alcoholic, and God saved him, and God changed him. He's now a deacon at the church that got saved.
Amen.
His name's Bill Wheeler. There's another guy there named Sammy Holder. Where I live, Holders have Barren River Angus Farm. It's about 1,300 acres of contiguous land on the Barren River. They surveyed it. The brothers split the farm up, and it was like 6 miles of that river. Just winds through their farm. Beautiful farm. Before anybody had money, they had money. And Bill started working for them at 9 years old, full time at 11 on that farm. And he would pick through corn and get the little grains, seed corn, and get the little grains out that had weevils in it. Don't that is? Get them little grains out that had weevils in it and separate, throw them away because it wasn't no good. The heart was gone. Wouldn't sprout. He did that. Then at 11, he started grubbing. And he would go on the backside and he'd grub them fields and clean them fields. Well, here's old Bill, who still was living paycheck to paycheck, working at the sawmill. Couldn't read or write. Here he gets down in front of old wealthy Sammy, who eats steak every night. And in life, they're on different levels.
Uh-huh.
But that night, God put them on the same.
Amen.
And old Bill gets down and just starts splashing that water. I love you, brother. And he starts running his fingers through his hair. Said, bless you. Bless you. And God got in it.
Yeah.
And everybody just got right on the same thing. That's where we need to get.
That's right, Mom.
It's not necessarily washing feet we need to do, but it's getting down to the earth.
Amen.
It's getting down humble.
Yeah.
It's getting down right.
That's
it's
right.
Getting our heart into it.
Right.
It's putting it all in.
That's right.
It's saying, God, it's you. It's everything.
Right.
Lord, it ain't money. It ain't the house. It ain't the car.
Right.
It's you that's going to help my children.
Yeah.
It's you. Have you got above it?
Right.
Have you got away from your experience? You will never serve God above how you found Him.
Right.
Thank God He does help us climb the ladder. He does take us to higher ground spiritually.
Right.
But we don't get there. Our connection is when we are born again. That's where it all comes. It stems from that experience.
Right.
That down-to-earth experience.
Right.
Have you had one tonight?
Right.
You can't go to heaven without it. You can't walk with the Lord without it. You can't talk to the Lord without it. It's real. It's real, isn't it? It's really real. We have forgotten. I'll finish up the Turner family. I said, Floyd, I said, it's homecoming. I said, well, you sang that song sometime. I love God's way of living best of all. He said, yeah, we'll do it. It comes to us. Well, when it got to where they talked, they just stood here like this, him and her, and they sang. And they said, we're going to sing it. Well, he couldn't sing. He just kind of cried the whole time. And later on, I saw him, and he said, boy, I got a blessing at that homecoming. You asked me to sing that song. Here's what he said to me. He said, but I waited too long. He said, I got so congested with the Spirit, I couldn't sing. That's what he said. And he said, you know, Sunday, he said, I went back to the altar. I said, you did? He said, yeah. He said, I do it every now and then. He said, you know what I said? I said, what? He said, I said, it's me again, Lord. I ain't near forgot it.
What about that?
Maybe you need to do that.
That's right.
Maybe you need to get down to her.
That's right.
I clipped my wings on my chickens. I was telling Brother Bride, he showed me how to do it, another friend. I clipped them so they wouldn't fly too high. Sometimes we have to have our wings clipped.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Sometimes we use, listen, coming to church and sitting on the pew, there's more to the Christian life than that for you. There's a joy that can be full, that's unspeakable and full of glory. There's a help. There's a power that you can be plugged into that'll make you an influence for Christ at the workplace. And listen, you don't want to be a bench warmer. Can you know when a sport's going on, can you sitting on the bench and the team wins and they all kind of rejoice together, but you know good and well you didn't have much of a part in it.
Right.
You don't want to be that as a Christian. Hey, God plays everybody tonight.
Yeah,
you hear that? No matter how tall you are, how short you are, how poor you are, how little you are, how big you are, who's your last name, He don't care. That don't mean nothing to God. I mean, this thing's real.
There's
some people, they need to be hemmed up in the corner and preached to for a while. Get them cut down the size. You get proud and boastful and haughty, and God will cut you off from that good flow from heaven. You won't get hooked in. This thing's real. Have you been born again? Have you had a down-to-earth experience? I thought I'd probably only preach to sinners, but I think God's talked to all of us tonight. He's talked to me. Have you had that? Aren't you glad you have? Brother in the church, he'll say back in 85, and you can just feel God when he says that. He don't always say that, but a lot of times he does. When he says back in 85, he just something runs through me. Because I know what happened.
Sure.
He come in here from West Virginia, and a little old neighbor, Mr. Gillum, Gillen, got to showing him the light. Took him to Caney Fork. And he heard old brother Arnold White preach. He said his face get red as them pews. God spoke to him. He said, I went to an altar, and I bowed down. And an old prayer warrior named Miss Maxie, she said, she got right behind me. And she'd say, Robert, son, trust the Lord. And he said, I did.
Amen.
That day. And got born again.
Amen.
Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
This is real.
Right.
And it's available.
Sure.
You can have it.
Amen.
I wouldn't want to live without the blessings of God.
Right.
That good touch of God. It's made me feel at home when I'm 7.5 hours away from home. I was really struggling how I was going to deal with this, being over here by myself. Then the preacher got sick, and I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? But it's been fine.
Amen.
Times went by faster, you know. There's a woman back home that she doesn't believe in the tribulation. It's all general to her, and that's fine. But she says the Bible said He's going to shorten the days for the elect's sake. And she said, it's a troublesome world. And she said, I just believe God's making the time go by faster for me. That's what she believes that means. That's what she believes. That's okay. God's shortening the days for her. She said, ain't near as many and ain't going to be near as long.
Yeah.
Then I'm going home.
Amen.
And I'm like Brother Hanley. I wouldn't tell her any different.
No,
I ain't going to argue with her. Hey, down to earth, friend.
That's right.
Down to earth.
Right.
You just wouldn't believe some things. Hey, I preach with holes in my socks. You ever done that? Some of you ladies, I love you now, but it'd tear you up if you had a runner in your hose. Worried sick about it. I'm just being honest, preacher. I'm going to quit right here because I don't want to get on my own. But I know it's right. I know it is so. I'm human and I know you're human. And I've not lived 38 years and not learned some of this stuff in the short life that I've lived. And it's a shame. If we let anything little like that get big. I'm not saying it's not a problem or you shouldn't think about it or that you have to be superhuman or that any of us are super spiritual. I'm just saying there are some things that don't matter that we let matter.
Right.
And it hinders us from having. I was in Alabama preaching. Right before I preached, the guy got up and he talked for 10 minutes about how where the old time preachers go and where and it's like it wasn't none left. And I understand from what he's saying, his idea of it, maybe so. But I thought, well, I'm raising 3 girls and there ain't no old time preachers. Boy, that's bad, ain't it?
Right in,
I just started a church. You don't hear that much unless it's a little off the wall or something. But I just, with the help of God, me and 9 charter members, with the help of my home church, started a Bible Way Baptist Church in 2016. And here I am trying to do something for God and folks saying it's all over. It ain't all over. It ain't all over. And whether you like it or not, you're going to have a down-to-earth experience.
Right.
You're going to die.
Right.
They're going to plant you in a graveyard.
Right.
But the primitive thing, thank God, that's not the end.
Right.
When Jesus comes that morning, my life will just begin. I don't believe in soul sleep. You may. That's okay. The songwriter said, when I wake up, to sleep no more.
Yes.
The songwriter said, go to sleep here, wake up over yonder.
Yes.
They're going to bury you. I seen Brother Jerry Patton grab a man's hand like this right here. He looked at him. He said, what are you doing? He said, well, I was just thinking about when I... He's an undertaker.
Yeah.
He said, I was just thinking about when I worked on you and them turned blue. And they stand in church talking about that. That's going to happen to you.
Right.
See, them little things don't wait till six strong men to carry you to church.
Yeah.
You better get right with God.
Right.
You're going to die.
Right.
You come from the ground, you're going back to the ground.
Yep.
But if you know Him and the power of His resurrection, you'll rise again.
Yeah.
And this whole body which is sown in weakness will be raised in power. And just like that corn falls in the ground, it's different when it comes out.
Right.
And we're going to be different. It's not yet appeared. But when we see Him, we'll be like Him. We're going to have a new body, a glorified body. And all the aches and pains are going to be gone. All the curse is going to be lifted. Everything that was lost in Adam is going to be redeemed in Christ. Even our body. Buddy, when He saved us and bought us, it was lock, stock, and barrel. Every bit of us. He saved my soul, and He sanctified me in my spirit, and He's continuing the work in my heart and conforming me to the image of Christ. And one day, He'll give me a perfect body to match His perfect work.
Amen.
That He's done in my heart.
Amen.
Ain't you glad of the reality of this book?
Yeah.
And know that you had a down-to-earth experience. Know that the graveyard's not the end. Know that when the trumpet sounds, we're going to get up out of that ground. Them Pentecostals saying, ain't no grave. I'm going to hold my body down.
Right?
All right, for Baptists to sing it too. Hey, we're shouting before they was.
Amen.
I'm preaching.